Welcome to the journey. If you're joining us for the first time, a big welcome to you. Let me look in the camera, say hello to our online location, all of you who are joining us online, especially if you're from parts of our region where you're still shoveling out. We're very glad you're along for the ride. And to our Hokesson location, much love to you. Glad you're here. Newark, will you help me show some love to our other locations? Yeah. Well, we're wrapping up a series called Future You, and if you are joining us for the first time or if you've missed some of the weeks during the series, I encourage you to go back to our YouTube channel this week, catch up on the first few messages, because they all kind of build and work together. And right before we jump into the final message of the series, I know you heard this, but just want to remind you one more time, spring J groups are coming up. They start today, so make sure you sign up for a group. Let's get that on the screens if we can, guys. It's coming. There it is. So make sure you sign up for a group if you haven't yet and show up for one of those this week. Both are important, signing up and showing up for it to work. So make sure you check out a group this week. And if you are new here, this is how we get connected, doing life together. So I encourage you to be a part of that. And then we're starting a new series next weekend called Money, Sex, Power. I'm really excited about this. And this is a great series to invite friends, family members to, people who don't necessarily go to church. We're going to look at these three things in a very honest but life-giving way and talk about the impact they have on our relationships. So don't miss that series. Invite someone to be a part of it. And then finally, I want to let you know, today is our God First Challenge. So if you've been a part of the journey for any length of time, if you were here last year, we start each year this as part of the way we start the year. And we have an opportunity, the beginning of 2022, as we wrap up this series and head into the rest of the year that God has for us, to put God first financially this year. And if you're a guest, if you're new to church, still checking church out, we're not going to take any collections or anything today. But I'll tell you a little bit more at the end of the message today what this is about. And if you've been growing spiritually here and consider this your community of faith, I'll give you an opportunity today to take this challenge to put God first. And God worked in a big way through this last year. So I'm excited about it today, and I'm just glad we get to be together, all of our locations. So as we jump into this final message of the series, we've been talking about over the past few weeks how to start 2022 in a way that will set us up to finish it well, to do some things and make some decisions in January that will have an impact on what our lives look like this December. And we've seen throughout the series that God has a future us in mind, not because he wants to control our future, but because he desires good things for our future. He created us. He has a purpose for us. And you may not buy that yet. Maybe you're still trying to figure out what you believe about it. I'm not here to twist your arm. But I do hope that you experience something here today that gives you a look at what your life could be like with more of God in it. And I hope if you've been coming the past few weeks, that's true for you as well, that you've just gotten this picture of what life could look like if you went all in with your faith in God this year. So what we've seen during this series is that the future us God has in mind is, first of all, a faithful us. He wants us to lean into this life with him and make some decisions, establish some priorities that we'll organize our lives around. We talked about that, spiritual habits, gathering, connecting, serving, inviting, praying, reading the Bible, being generous with our lives. And then we saw that the future us God has for us is a grateful us. We do life with Jesus. We're not supposed to get grouchier and more resentful over time. We're actually supposed to get more thankful over time. And that's a sign that it's really working. And then last week we saw that the future us God has in mind really is a new us. It's an ever-changing us. That we, as we strip off old attitudes and habits, which is an ongoing process, we can replace those with new things that God has for us. So if you've been here during the series, or if you're joining us for the first time, you think about this spiritual growth thing and what is it all about, you might be asking, is that all there is? So I've got to be faithful to God. He wants me to have some habits in my life that put me in his presence on a regular basis. I want to be grateful. I want to be thankful. And then I want to be stripping off old things, replacing them with new attitudes and approaches to life. Is that all there is? And the answer is no. And if you've been wondering maybe throughout the series, what is this really leading to? Like, what is this all about? If I work on my life spiritually this year, what will that ultimately get me? Like, what's the reward in the end? There is an answer to that question, and that's what we're going to tackle today. So we've been looking at this little book in the New Testament of the Bible called Colossians, written to a community of faith that, although different in time and geography, was in a lot of ways like this one, like our church, group of followers of Jesus, all at different places in their spiritual journey, trying to make progress and grow in their faith. And near the beginning of the book of Colossians, Paul, who wrote this book, writes these words. He says, "This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace." So let me ask you the question today. Have you gotten any good news recently? Anybody gotten any good news? Anybody gotten any bad news recently? My hand's up. I had some bad news over the past few days. But if you've had good news, you know how enjoyable it is. Like if you've had an unexpected A, you thought you were just going to squeak by on the test, but you got an A, or maybe you got a raise. It was bigger than you thought it would be. You had your offer accepted on a house. Maybe you asked somebody out and they said yes, although in the 19 seconds it took for them to text back, you went through great agony of soul, you know. Eventually, you got the good news. Well, for the Colossians, this community of faith, Paul says, this good news that you received was the good news about a person named Jesus. And the Colossians had come from a place where they didn't know anything about Jesus. So they didn't have a church background. Many of them didn't have any concept of who Jesus was, but they heard the good news that he had come as the Son of God, that he had died to forgive them of the stuff that had kept them from God, the sin, the things that had held them back from God, that he had risen again, and that he was alive and among them. And so finding Jesus and following him fully had changed the lives of these people in this city of Colossae at the deepest level. I mean, it changed everything about their lives. It's like they went from darkness to light. They went from death to life. They were literally new people. Their lives had been completely changed. And that's what's happening here. And it's so fulfilling to me to see this, and I've had the amazing privilege and honor for all of these years now of leading this community of faith, serving this community of faith, and watching lives being changed. As you get to know Jesus more and you take steps in his grace, seeing your life be changed. And whether you're brand new to this, you've been a part of it for months or years, it never gets old. There's a guy named Byron who came to our church a couple of years ago. He grew up in Delaware. And through a series of things that happened in his childhood and his youth, he fell into addiction. And he found himself in a very bad place. And someone invited him to the journey. Just like thousands of invitations have been extended over the years, someone gave one to Byron. He came and he joined a J group. And he got a community of people around him. And then eventually, Byron put his faith in Jesus. And he started following Jesus. And through God's strength and this new community of people around him, he began to live a recovering life. So this past fall, Byron went public with his faith in baptism, took the steps, said, "I'm going to go all in with Jesus. I want everybody to know I'm a follower of Christ." So he went public in baptism, and Jesus changed his life. It's just one of many stories happening throughout our community of faith. And if you're wondering what is the catalyst for that kind of life change, Paul tells us it's the grace of God. We can't manufacture it. Like, I couldn't be smart enough or skilled enough to plan for somebody's life to be changed. In fact, I would go out on a limb and say, you've never changed anyone's life. I haven't. Only God can really change a life. Can anybody agree with that? I mean, at the end of the day, we could create the atmosphere, create the environment, but there's something supernatural about the grace of God that results in the life of somebody like Byron and thousands of others having their life changed by Jesus. And I want to encourage you today that if you came or you're watching this right now, and you need change in your life, I want you to know that Jesus can change your life as well. And wherever you find yourself, whether everything is falling apart right now, or you look successful on the outside, but you're unfulfilled on the inside, wherever you find yourself, Jesus can change your life. Whether you're a student or a grandparent or a 20-something, consider yourself an atheist or an agnostic, or you're mad at God. Some of you don't believe in God, but you're really mad at him. Think about that for a second. And wherever you are, I want you to know that Jesus can change your life. Where religion has tried and failed, where self-help has tried and failed, where people have tried and failed, where you've tried and failed, the grace of God through Jesus can change your life. And that's the message of our church. That's the good news. That's what Paul says changes lives. It's a message of grace, not a message of judgment. It's not a message of condemnation. It's not about writing people off or watering the truth down. We teach the simple life-changing good news about Jesus here, and it transforms lives. Because when we really understand God's grace, his undeserved goodness toward us, the way we think and speak and act, the priorities we choose and the habits we embrace, what we hold on to and what we learn to let go of, all of that changes because Jesus is in our lives. We change, we're transformed by the goodness of Jesus. But, and that, by the way, is what we talked about the past 3 weeks, that change. It grows our faithfulness, it grows our gratitude, and it changes our priorities. But although that change starts with us, there's one more piece of this that's so important. And that is that that change does not stop with us. This is the next step of spiritual growth for so many of us, because real change always leads to us living a life that goes beyond ourselves. And if it doesn't, eventually it stops changing us. If the change that God does in us and for us doesn't begin to flow through us, it will eventually stop changing us. It's how God hardwired our lives and how he designed this path of growing in our faith. As I follow Jesus, I am learning more and more that when he does things for me and in me, those things aren't just ultimately about me. And I don't know about anybody else, and I've had this tested this week, I'll spare you the details, but I, on occasion, can be a little bit selfish. Is there anybody else who would just raise a hand in solidarity and say, me too? Online, me too. Hokesson, me too. Yeah. And now, I can be very selfless at times. The more I grow spiritually, I've got generous moments. But you know, I find that when a lot of things go wrong in a short amount of time, anybody know what I'm talking about? My generosity goes, let me step back, put your oxygen mask on first, Johnston. And I get in this place where I begin to reduce my world down to the size of my circumstances, and I forget about the greater work that God is doing. And it is normal, happens to all of us, but the truth is that as long as we're stuck in that place, we get caught in a spiral of self-obsession and self-focus, and we lose sight of what God is doing. And the moment the transformation that was happening in us stops flowing through us, it stops changing us. And so if what God is doing in me at any given moment and for me is not just about me, who is it for? What is it about? What is the point of God changing our lives beyond just what he's doing for us? Well, to find out, we have to back up another verse or two in Colossians. This is right at the beginning of chapter 1, where Paul writes, we always pray for you. Remember, he's writing to a church like ours. He says, we always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people. So Paul says, we've heard about how your faith is growing and your love for all of God's people is increasing as well. Now, it's what we saw week one. Paul says, there's something about you, this church, this community of faith. He'd never been there in person, but he says, we've heard about you. I just keep hearing these, like I keep hearing good gossip. I keep hearing good rumors about you. I've never been there, but I keep hearing about your faith in Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which is awesome. I would like to be known for that. But the question is, where does all of that faith and love come from? How do these people have so much faith and love? And we got to look at it again to find the answer. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. Not here, but in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. It's so simple that we could rush right by it if we're not careful. This is where ongoing growth happens in our lives spiritually. This is how our faith takes shape. These followers of Jesus were not full of faith and love because everything was going right around them. They were not full of faith and love because they were surrounded by people who were really lovable. They were not full of faith and love because their circumstances were all going according to plan. No, they were growing in faith and love because all of that was coming from a confident hope they had. In what? Not in this life, not in the acceptance letter, not in the promotion, not in the test results they wanted, not in some misplaced idea that they would always feel happy or confident or safe in this world. This growing faith and love came from a confident hope of what God had reserved for them in heaven, not even in this life. Now, we've talked about the past 3 weeks, all of the things God desires to do in our lives here and now while we're in this human form on this planet. But for these Colossians, these believers, these followers of Jesus, their faith kept growing and their love kept expanding because they had put their hopes somewhere else beyond this life. They were looking beyond the current them to a future them in heaven. When I was a kid, my mom would sometimes use layaway for Christmas gifts. Where are my people from my generation who remember layaway? I was just a kid. Now, if you're under the age of 30, this is not really a thing anymore. But it used to be a big deal. Here's what it looked like. You would go to the store. You would pick out what you wanted. She would pick out the stuff she was going to buy us for Christmas, and the store would hold it while she made payments. And when she made all the payments, she got the thing. I know, weird, right? She had to pay all the money, and at the very end, she got the thing. And it's not very common anymore, but it works. The way I grew up, we didn't have a lot of extra money, so Christmas required planning, and this was a great plan because she didn't have to go in debt. But she had the confidence, she knew, if I'll keep making the payments, then what I'm paying toward will be there in the end. It's layaway. There's a big difference between layaway and buy now, pay later, which is much more common. So buy now, pay later is where you get something now, but you don't have to pay until later. Some of us have some stuff like that. Maybe it whispers to you when you walk by, you're going to have to pay for me eventually. Layaway is where we start paying and we don't get the thing until we're done paying, which doesn't seem like as much fun as buy now, pay later. Am I right? I mean, buy now, pay later, it seems like that's the plan. I get the thing now, but I don't have to pay until later. When? I don't know. We'll figure it out. Layaway requires discipline. Layaway requires trust. Listen to me very closely, because some of us are at a crossroads. And we can't get any closer to God until we understand that he is a layaway God, not a buy now, pay later God. And here's what that means. God invites us into a layaway life where we continue to make deposits by faith in him, even though we don't see the results yet, trusting him for the reward. So why would I do that? Because we have a confident hope of what God has reserved for us in heaven. I know this won't make a lot of sense to us in our generation, in our age, but I've been doing a lot of study recently around the early church, and this church in particular, as I'm working through this series. And for these Colossians, honestly, they really believed anything God did for them here was just gravy. It was just extra. It was just icing on the cake. That the real reward they wouldn't even experience until they'd finished making all of their layaway payments in this life. And Paul tells them, from the moment you heard the good news about Jesus, you change your expectation location. You stop putting your hopes in this world, and you begin putting your confident hope in what God has reserved for you in heaven. And that's why you keep growing in your faith and your love. Now, once we put our faith in Jesus, heaven is on lock. We're going there. It's settled. But getting into heaven isn't all there is to heaven. Did you know that? Like, just getting in, we talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago. Some of us are like, I just want to make it. I just want to get to heaven and be like, whoo-wee. Barely scrape by. But there's more to heaven than just getting in. We get in through the grace of God, but there's more to heaven than just getting in, which is why Jesus says this: don't store up treasures, money, material possessions, investments here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Instead, store your treasures on layaway. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. So we can't buy our way into heaven for one simple reason. The price has already been paid. Jesus died for our sins so that we could be with God in relationship with him now and with him forever in heaven. But we can store up treasures in heaven. Jesus is very clear about that. We can store up treasures in heaven, which means they will be waiting there when we arrive. It's God's layaway system. We can make a decision, okay, I'm either going to live this life saying I have faith in Jesus, but acting like all of my hope is here, or I can live this life saying that I have faith in Jesus and acting like all of my hope is in heaven. Like my ultimate expectation is that I'm going to be provided for and taken care of, and that everything I do in this life that seems like a payment or a sacrifice, if it's done in the name of Jesus for what matters to Jesus, it will be waiting for me when I arrive. Now, you can't do that if you don't trust the owner of the store. But if you do, it's a great plan. It's a great way to live our lives. So put it this way, the future us is a generous us. We decide when to step toward it. And God does not twist our arm. He doesn't force us to be generous. He doesn't show up at our doorstep every month going, got paid, come on, let's go. God doesn't do that. If your God does that, that's not the right God. Instead, he invites us into a layaway life. And I want you to think about this. Here's what he offers. Confident hope of heaven. And in the meantime, think about this. How would your life change if you were full of a confident hope in what God had reserved for you in heaven? How leveled would you be by problems here? How disappointed would you stay in the temporary ups and downs of this life? Oh, if you only knew. I'm preaching to me right now. I'm not talking about not being affected by pain and grief. We're human, and we will be affected by it. But there is a big difference between someone who faces a season of pain and says, this is hard. I'm going to have to recenter my trust in God and remind myself that this is not all there is. There's a big difference between that person and someone who faces pain and can only say, this is hard, and I have nothing else to hope in. And God is inviting us into the first kind of life, a layaway life. So let me ask you today, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're not, you can take a pass on this. But if you are, let me ask you directly, how much of your treasure is being spent and stored up in this world? And how much is being invested in heaven? How much of your life is tied to here? And how much of it is rooted in an expectation of God's ultimate goodness? Now, science confirms this, by the way, which it often does, God's truth. Harvard Business School did a study a few years ago, found that giving money away boosted people's happiness more than spending it on themselves, even though those same people had predicted in advance that spending it on themselves would make them happier. It's as if God hardwired this layaway system into our DNA, into our very souls as human beings, and we can't escape from it, even though we do our best to try. And Jesus tells us why the connection between giving and growing in our faith works. It's because wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. And what's amazing about that is this. Let me ask you, have you ever wondered why you're so easily frustrated and disappointed by this life? Have you ever had like that little talk with yourself? Come on, why are you getting so down about this? Anybody else? You ever wonder why little things just pull you so far down? You ever wonder why you get so angry or discouraged when things don't turn out the way you want? What is that about? According to Jesus, it's an indication that too much of our treasure is tied to this world. And our heart can't help itself. It follows our treasure trail. And it goes wherever our treasure is. So when we've over-invested in things that can't last and won't ultimately satisfy, our heart says, I get the signal. That's what I'm going to rise and fall on as well. That's how I'm going to respond. But when we put our treasure into what matters to God, when we set our hope on heaven and we invest in what's going to matter for eternity, our heart says, oh, I get the signal. I'm going to go there. I'm going to make that my priority as well. And so Jesus says, if you want to change your heart, start with your treasure because your heart will follow your treasure. Some of us are going, no, I'm going to get my heart just right, and then my treasure will ultimately follow. Jesus says, it doesn't work that way. Actually, you start with your treasure, and then your heart will follow. We go, no, I want buy now, pay later. Jesus says, no, I want you to have layaway. I want you to make deposits before you see results, because that's faith. And I want you to live in this layaway life with me where you're trusting me that in the end, everything you need will be provided. See, the future us is a generous us, and we decide when to step toward it. We decide. It's a layaway life. If you want more of what God has for you, give more of what you have for God. I'm not talking about salvation or heaven. That's settled. But God's word makes it very clear. He says, come close to me, and I will come close to you. Again, we want it the other way. We're like, God, you come close to me, and then I'll come close to you. God says, no, I've already given you life and hope through Jesus. Now the ball's in your court. You come close to me, and I will come close to you. That's what the God First Challenge is all about. So this last weekend of the series, as we get ready to head into what God has for us and wants to do through us throughout the rest of this year, this is a special moment in the life of our church. And part of what followers of Jesus do to apply this is what the Bible calls tithing. This idea of giving our first, giving the first 10% of our income. And it's not a death-bringing law. It's a life-giving invitation. It's a decision to put God first with our money, our material things, our budget. It's making him the first line item in our budget. And here's what we read about it in the Bible. I love these words. Generous people, so if you would buy into the idea that the future you is a generous you in God's eyes, here's what a generous person is like. Generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. So how do we take steps toward the future us, toward a generous us? Well, first, we plan it. Instead of leaving generosity to emotion or chance or waiting until we're moved, we make a plan. That means going home and looking at our finances, looking at our budget, looking at where we are, and planning to put God first in 2022. So first, we plan it. And that really is a difference, by the way, between generosity that comes from faith in Jesus and generosity that's just like the charitable giving of the world around us. There's nothing wrong with that, but that tends to be moved by emotion or chance or having extra, whereas giving that comes from faith is a plan. I'm going to put God first. And then second, we stand firm in it. You ever decided to be generous, but then looked at your bills and thought, well, not this month, clearly. Sorry, God. Verizon is my God this month. I'm sorry. Right? So this is another part of giving that comes from faith. Giving that comes from emotion and serotonin and wanting to have good feelings is based on what we have left over. Giving that comes, buy now, pay later. Giving that comes from faith in Jesus is layaway. It's I'm gonna put God first now. Even though it's hard and it requires a sacrifice, trusting that in the end I will be provided for. We stand firm by putting God first. So we plan it and we stand firm in it. And then God gets to do this work through our generosity that goes beyond us. What God does in us and for us in this life has to translate into what he does through us for the next life, for that to be stored up in heaven. So here's what God does through our generosity. If you've ever wondered, why does God need us to give? It's not because he's broke. It's not because he doesn't know how to run this thing without our resources. But it's because he's giving us an opportunity to live a layaway life. It's why he doesn't just save us and take us to heaven, so that we can stay here and be generous. And through our generosity, he brings heaven to earth. When we give, we're taking some of earth and putting it in heaven. God responds by taking some of heaven and bringing it to earth. And he's doing it in our communities as we feed people who are hungry in the name of Jesus. And we give people who don't have shelter a place to stay. And we support people who are struggling with addiction. And we serve people who are overlooked. He's doing it in our gatherings as people find Jesus, and in our groups as people grow, and on our team as people serve. He's doing it as we spread the good news about Jesus throughout our region, this 30-mile circle that we call Journey City, where 1.8 million people live, and so many of them need hope beyond this life. He brings heaven to earth when we give. When we live the layaway life, he brings heaven to earth, and yet at the same time, the promise is that everything we give in his name is also stored up for us in heaven. And one day, we will make our final layaway deposit, and we will discover that our reward is waiting for us. The future you is a generous you. Only you can decide when to step toward it. But I'd love to suggest a date, a day. Today would be a great day. So if you're in the room at one of our physical locations, you received one of these cards on your way in, or if not, it's on the seat back of the seat in front of you. If you're online, you'll see a link dropped into the chat right now. If you'll turn that chat feature on, there's a link there to this. This is the God First Challenge. If you're here today and you're, again, checking out church, trying to figure out what you believe, there's no expectation that you participate in this. This is for followers of Jesus. And by the way, if you're here, you're watching online, and you're a part of another church, you just happen to be visiting today, please, if you take this commitment, do that at your church. But if you're a part of the journey, I prayed over this moment today. And I'm just going to be very transparent with you, as I always am. I came here this weekend, and all the weather stuff. And I had I'll spare you the details. I just had a bunch of stuff go wrong. Usually, 3 months worth of going wrong things just seem to happen in 3 days. You ever been there? And I was coming into this, I'm like, okay, it's God First Challenge. I've prayed over this, and I know my heart. By the way, I'm very confident in this. I don't want anything from you. I really don't. But I do believe God has some things for you and wants to do some things through you. And so I was coming into this, and I was like, okay, God, we got all this weather, all this stuff's going wrong in my life. I'm telling people they need to set their hope in heaven, and I'm distracted by stuff on earth, which is how God usually works, because I'm not the point. He's the point. And so I prayed over this moment, and this is, I really believe, a sacred moment. You have an opportunity, I have an opportunity to make a commitment today to live a God-first life in our finances this year. And to not just talk, but to walk and to give. So I want you to take this card, or if you've got the link in front of you right now, there are three choices, three commitments that you can choose one of those. I'm gonna walk you through it very quickly, and you've got some time. Your location pastor will walk you through it again quickly at the end. So stick around to the very end today. But I want to encourage you to make one of these three commitments. Number one, I commit to giving my first tithing, giving the first 10% of my income for the next 90 days. So I know that, committing for life may seem like a big step. So if you haven't been doing this, maybe you've only been giving when you're moved by emotion, or you have extra, or it's been inconsistent, you've taken steps. I'm not taking away from that. But today's a day to say, okay, for the next 3 months, I'm going to live the layaway life. I'm going to put God first. He's going to be the first line item in my budget. And I'm gonna give my first to what matters to him. And while the rewards ultimately are in heaven, I think you'll be amazed at what God does in your life in the process. And the easiest way to do this, by the way, is to set up recurring giving online. That's how our family gives. That way, every pay period it comes out, it's the first thing we do is give. And that's key, by the way. First is faith. Last is emotion. Last is human. First is faith. And I wanna encourage you to do that. Or second, I commit to continuing to give my first. So if you have been tithing, this is part of your relationship with God already, I want to give you the opportunity today to just say, I'm going to re-up this year. And to ask God to bless that and to begin to spill that generosity into every area in your life. I want you to understand this year, if this is you, that you are in a covenant relationship with God. And when you put him first in your finances, he desires to bless your household, Some of that may be material or tangible, but a lot of it will be spiritual and relational. And you can invite God into those areas of your life where you need his blessing as you walk in covenant with him. And then here's the third one. I commit to giving above and beyond as God blesses me in 2022. So for some of us, we've been tithing maybe for several years. And God's inviting us to higher places of generosity above our tithe, above our first. And I love this because this is where we get to be led by the Spirit. No one can tell you the amount except God. And it means having conversations with him, listening to him, praying, listening, giving. Many of us did this during the Christmas offering. This is where Susie and I find ourselves in this season of our lives. We've been tithing faithfully for years, and God's leading us to be more and more generous. In fact, one of the great privileges of our life has been to dedicate each year a little bit more percentage of our income above and beyond to what matters to God. And I'm just telling you, there's nothing like it. The rewards are in heaven, but a layaway life is a lot of fun in the meantime too. And if that's you today, I encourage you to make that commitment. Now again, your location pastor is going to walk you through this very quickly, tell you what to do next with the card in just a moment. So stick around to the very end. But for right now, I want to encourage you to make one of those three commitments. Here's why. Because the future you is a generous you. You decide when to step toward it. Some of you have tied your life to this earth, and you're at a lid, you're at a ceiling. You can't go any further because your treasure's here. I don't completely understand everything about it. I just know that when you finally let go and begin living the layaway life, does it solve every problem? No, I just told you I had a bunch in the last 48 hours. But it recenters your expectation, and that'll change your soul. It will. So if you're here today and you would say, hey, I want that. I want a confident hope of what God has reserved for me in heaven to guide my life. If you're in a room, we just shoot your hand up all over the room here in Newark, Hokesson. If you're online, do that right where you are. Just lift a hand up toward heaven, toward God. Let me pray over us. Father, we love and honor you today. We sense your presence right now. All throughout today in worship, through the teaching of your word, you're here in a powerful way. And there's a beauty and an innocence to your presence, inviting us in. God, we are struggling with so many things in this life. We have so many unanswered questions, unmet expectations, hopes and dreams that have not materialized. And here you are, God, inviting us to lift our hopes above this world. And God, it's hard to do that sometimes, but Lord, we're taking you up on the invitation. We're stepping into the layaway life right now. God, we're committing ourselves to store up our treasures in heaven. There's a tangible way we're going to do that through our tithing, our giving, but God, it goes beyond that. We're centering our souls on you again today. We're reshaping our desires to be about what you want and what you have in store. We pray you'll bless it in a powerful way. God, we step into the layaway life today because the future us is a generous us. We're deciding today's the day to step toward it. Bless it, we pray in Jesus' name. Let me take just one moment more while you let God speak to your heart. If you're here today or you're watching right now and you don't yet have a real relationship with God for yourself, listen to me very closely. God doesn't want a single thing from you. You can't pay your way into a relationship with God. You can't be good enough to have a relationship with God. You can't be religious enough to have a relationship with God. You can't figure out the right prayers to pray to have a relationship with God. If you want a real relationship with God, it comes from believing that Jesus paid the price so that you could have that. And you may have never thought of this before, but if you don't know Jesus, you are why God calls those of us who do know Jesus to be generous. You're the whole point, that you would get to hear the good news, that you could get into a relationship with God. And he led the way when he gave his son Jesus so that you could have new life. And if you want that today, if you want to know God for yourself, I'm going to lead us in prayer again. This is your opportunity. Everybody just open your heart up to God with me one more time. And if that's you, if you want to start a relationship with God today, right where you are, whisper out a prayer of faith, something like this. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in what you did for me. I believe because of your sacrifice, my sins are forgiven, and I can know God. Save me today. I want to follow you. And if that's you, or everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, I want to be included in that prayer, will you lift your hand and just hold it up high? If you're in the room, hold it up high boldly. Hokesson, hold it up high. If you're online, type the word faith in the chat. Let us know you're taking this step. I want to celebrate it with you. And then everybody help me. Let's put our hands together. Give Jesus all the praise.